And now I have the special privilege to introduce our spiritual director, our mentor, teacher, so many hats, and just overall wonderful person, the Reverend Mary Sabai.
Well, as many of you know, I hurt my back. It was probably early in December, and I'm still messing around with pain and having to be really careful with it. And so I've had the experience in the last couple months of really slipping into a sustained focus on the pain. The other night, we were sitting, and Barb Kinsey was talking to me, and she said, you know, I just love to connect people. We all know that about her. She loves to connect people with what they're needing. So if somebody needs, give me an example, Barb. if somebody needs a massage therapy, she can hook you up with somebody. And she loves it. I mean, she said, I just really get excited about it. And when I get excited about it, things just start showing up. Like, you know, she'll open her email and something will be there that is perfect for the person that was just talking to her that needed something. And I'm listening to her and I'm thinking, well, of course, that's the way it works, right? That's the way the law of attraction works. When we're feeling good and we're excited about something, then what we need comes to us. Well, that was easy for me to see about her, right? But with ourselves, it's a little bit of a different story. And I think it's especially difficult when there's physical pain involved, and I know that many of you have experienced that, and it's just, you know, right there, you know. The pain I've had is like this finger, like pushing in my back really hard. And it's probably, you know, the universe. But so I thought, you know, after she said that, and I thought, what am I doing? You know, what am I creating here? And one of my favorite authors and researchers and speakers is Joe Dispenza. Who's familiar with him? He does a lot with healing, and especially researches healing of people who have very serious conditions and often terminal illness, and their ability to completely heal themselves. And he himself was actually in a very bad accident, and he hurt his back severely. And they were at a point where they were going to insert a rod in his back. And if I can remember the story correctly, he asked the doctors to please give me a certain period of time and let me try. And they granted them that time period. Well, he went off by himself with some people there to assist him, I'm sure. And I think he was just laying, you know, he couldn't move a lot. But within that time period, he completely healed himself without any more doctor interventions. We all know that this is possible. We hear these stories, and we know about the law of attraction. And yet, we get pulled back into the focus on our problem. Whatever the problem might be, it doesn't have to be physical. It can be, you know, it could be a financial problem. It could be a relationship problem, anything. But we get pulled back into that, and all of a sudden our focus is on that problem. And it's not so bad that we just are experiencing the problem and noticing the problem and feeling, you know, the negative effects of it, but it's the sustained focus that creates the problem. Joe Dispenza talks a lot about the heart math research. Familiar with heart math? I know some of you are. And he says that there are so many benefits to creating heart coherence, is what he calls it, and that unlocks heart intelligence. So he says it's very important for us to understand that our heart has its own energy, its own messages that it sends to the rest of the body, that it sends to the brain, actually. And that when we rest in our heart center and we sustain elevated emotion, that creates the heart coherence. Heart coherence is our heart begins to beat at a very even resonance. And the longer we're in that sustained, elevated state, the stronger that becomes. And that literally expands our energy field. It comes out from the body. It's out here. And it strengthens and expands our energy field. The heart energy is 5,000 times stronger than the brain field energy. And we spend so much time in our heads, right? That's where we go. So we hear this all the time from the Abraham teachings, any of the Law of Attractions teachers. We know that we need to sustain elevated emotion. But what Joe Dispenza brings to the table is, and the Heart Math Institute, is that those elevated emotions reside in our hearts. And that's where we get the strength of this expanded energy field. So it's by changing our internal being that we experience these amazing effects, especially if we can sustain it for any length of time. Higher energy, it fills our spirit, we experience a sense of wholeness and unity. And that reminded me of A Course of Love. In A Course of Love, Jesus talks about wholeheartedness and says wholeheartedness is actually the joining of the heart and the mind, the heart and the brain. So I think that's what he's talking about here. And what Joe Dispenza says is that ancient wisdom and scientific knowledge and teachings are converging so that we actually have practices and processes that will allow us to experience these things and develop practices so that we can sustain these elevated emotions. David Hawkins in Power Versus Force talks about ranking emotions, if you recall. So, you know, the higher vibrating emotions up at the top of the scale are acceptance and love and joy and peace. And at the bottom of the scale with very low vibration, anger and disappointment and rage and all those lower emotions. So the more elevated our emotion, the longer we can sustain it, the stronger our magnetic field, and that creates well-being. Our emotions really emit powerful, powerful magnetic fields. So I'm thinking, I really need to hear this, and I really need to develop a practice that helps me to elevate my emotion and sustain that, rather than sliding down into that oh my gosh, it's hurting, I have to sit down, I can't, you know, all these things that, you know, just keep that cycle going, that just create more pain and discomfort. Then I ran across this really wonderful little book in my library. I realize I have two, so it must have been good, and I bought it again. Bringers of the Light by Neil Donald Walsh. Is anybody familiar with that? He talks about this, our state of being versus our doing. And he makes the distinction between being and doing and how important that is for us to remember and work with. He says that in order to be and live who we really are, we need to shift our focus from doing to being. So we start out with making a commitment to a state of being that we want to experience. And then we allow the doing to flow from that state of being. So an example that I can think of right now is, instead of doing things that I think might make me healthier, that might make my back feel better, in the absence of a state of being that, I take a step back and say, okay, I'm going to make a decision and make a commitment to be healthy. And from that state of being healthy, the doing will flow. The inspired doing will flow. The right doing will flow. Another example would be something that I've struggled with for most of my life, and that was feeling like I needed, that I was missing out on love, on unconditional love. So if we make a decision to be that love and let our doing, so instead of going out and doing things that I believe might bring me love, I tried that. It doesn't work. Yeah, I was young. So we're looking for love, as they say, in all the wrong places. So I'm gonna just ask the question here: what do you want to be? What do you want to be? What can you make a commitment to being, and then stick with it? You know, so whatever comes along, you stick with your commitment. Shifting our focus from doing to being. So I make a commitment to be healthy. And an opportunity comes along for me to do something that I know is not very healthy. I have to stick with my commitment to be healthy and make that choice. We sang the song, "The Power of Decision is My Own." And that's the truth. These are all personal decisions that we're making ourselves from that power that we're gifted with, the power of choice. So I was looking back at my life, and some examples of this came to mind pretty quickly. When I went to law school and practiced law for a while, in retrospect, it's pretty clear to me that I was doing to create a state of being. I was going to law school to create a state of being. I was practicing law to create a state of being. And that state of being was more than likely being happy and fulfilled. And it didn't work. It was the emptiest feeling I can't even describe it to you. It's not to say that people can't be lawyers and practice law and have that, you know, be in alignment with the state of being that they've decided on, but it wasn't for me. And I see that now. When I started teaching in the jail classes for the men, I started out with a curriculum. And some of you have heard this story, that I was given and trained in. And it didn't take me long to figure out that, well, this is not going to work. It's not working for me. It's not working for them. But I really, really cared about them. And still do. But I cared about them while we were having the class. And I wanted their lives to be better. I wanted to give them some kind of information, something that could help. And I remember feeling at the time, intuitively, they just need to see that someone loves them. You know, that's important. And I remember making the decision, I'm just going to be loving. I'm going to be loving as we have this class. Now, I didn't know about all this, and we can usually go do that, can't we? We can go back and see how these things have worked in our lives, but we didn't really know the principles at the time. And so I just set about operating my class from a place of being loving, and what I offered to them was from that state of being loving. When we had discussions, it was from that state of being loving. And it really started to work. You know, I had people, you know, on waiting lists to get in my class. I still have people talking about it that they wish I would come back over there. And when I meet up with some of the people that I had in my class, you know, they still remember. And I think that, I really believe that that's what it was. It wasn't the stuff, it wasn't the facts, it wasn't, you know, the information. It was that it was coming from love. And then when I found myself here, when I, you know, found my way here, I would say when I was teaching in the jail, my heart started to open, like really, really open. And when I found my way to the fellowship, it just cracked wide open and gushed all over the place. And so I continue to do what I do here for all of you from love, always. Every decision that I make, every interaction that I have with you, I try to do it from love. Neil Donald Walsh also explains that it's very important to allow form to create itself and not to force it. He gives an example of a man who really felt like he wanted to be a healer. And so he was married, I think, and as I recall, and he quit his job, bought a crystal store, and, you know, he went down that path of, it sounded to me like a New Age healer path. Well, his wife left him because she thought he was crazy and having a midlife crisis, and he ended up bankrupt. I mean, it just didn't work. He was doing in order to create a state of being. So he finally decided he was just going to simply be healing and let the doing flow from that, what he was inspired to do flow from that. And he became a chaplain, I believe, or a minister of some type in hospice, and was very successful at that with his patients and felt very fulfilled. But that came from his decision and commitment to be healing, not a decision to do something to be a healer. Do you see the difference? So as I mentioned, as I was thinking through all this, I realized that this state of being loving that I've taken on is exactly what I felt like I was missing all my life. Something that I longed for, something that I felt like there was some sort of emptiness inside that needed to be filled up. And I'm thinking that probably many of you have something like that. Maybe it's not exactly like mine, but something like that. Maybe it's wanting to be loved unconditionally, you know, so not the love that you have to earn or do something for, but unconditional love. Maybe it's wanting to be accepted, feeling like you belong. Maybe you want a need to be forgiven for something, and it's not forthcoming from the person that you want to be forgiven by. Abundant, maybe you want to be abundant and it's just not happening. Heard, seen. Whatever it is for you. So I'm going to ask you right now to just think about that for a second and see if you can find that thing that has been, you know, maybe haven't quite mastered yet, that maybe you have, you know, felt abandonment. Many of us have felt that. Just maybe close your eyes for a second and feel within and see if something comes up for you. And just kind of open your eyes once you've thought of something. That's something that just kind of keeps nagging. Maybe you've pushed it in the background enough that it's, you know, doesn't, you feel like it's not impacting your life on a daily basis, but it's still there. Is everybody kind of thought of something? So my idea, as I was thinking this through, is that maybe those things that sort of haunt us as we go through life, you know, this emptiness, this needing and wanting that never gets satisfied, is really the universe or source trying to get our attention, trying to let us know that this is something that is this it's seeking to be gifted into the world through you. So instead of seeing it as this horrible, bad thing that we want to, that we're missing out on, that we need but we're not getting, so we're in total lack of it, maybe we can look at it as something that we can bring into this world as a gift to ourselves and to others. So this thing that you've thought of, what does that look like when you turn that into a state of being for yourself? So if you've really been aching for unconditional love, being loving yourself, if you really have wanted to be accepted and haven't felt ever accepted totally for who you are, being accepting, appreciated. Maybe you just, you know, have tried so hard over the years to do things and be to other people, and you're not getting the appreciation that you really long for. The state of being that you can bring is being appreciative, being forgiving, being present with others to hear them and see them with love. If you have a sense of not belonging, maybe you could create within a commitment and decision for yourself to be welcoming and inclusive. It really kind of turns it all upside down. If you have felt abandonment, maybe you can be that person that gives steadfast love, that stays, even when things might not be going exactly the way you want them. You stay. So hang on to that. Have you kind of flipped it so that you've turned it into a being statement for yourselves? Whatever it is you came up with. Okay, so we're going to do a brief meditation here. And we're going to use that, so hang on to it. So just close your eyes. And let's take three deep breaths together. That's always relaxing. Inhale and exhale. And inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. And just allow your body to relax with every breath, every exhale. Feel the stress and any kind of tension in your muscles just melt away. Now bring your attention to your heart. Your complete focus on your heart, and start breathing in and out from your heart center. Keep your focus right there. You're going to inhale through your heart center and exhale from your heart center. Feel that. Feel the difference between everything from the neck up. Feel the weight, the warmth in your heart center. And just continue that for a few moments, slowly and deeply connecting with that heart center. And if your mind wanders, just return to your chest. Return your attention to your heart and your breath. And while you're right there in that heart center, bring up an elevated emotion. Think of something that brings up love or peace or joy for you. And continue to breathe in and out. Breathe that emotion in and out of your heart. And once you really feel that heartfelt emotion in that heart center, send that energy out beyond your body. and marry it with your intention to be whatever you decided on. Marry that emotion, that elevated emotion, with your intention. And broadcast this energy and intention all around you. Remember that feeling of being in your heart. And begin to come back to the room. And eventually, when you're comfortable, open your eyes and come back. So through this kind of meditation, we're really learning what it feels like to have our attention in our hearts, to have that, bring up that elevated emotion and hold it in that heart center and experience heartfelt emotion. This is a meditation that Heart Math Institute uses. And Joe Dispenza said, you know, use this 2-3 times a day. You know, you can make it as long as you want. The longer you're in that high elevated state, you know, holding on to that intention, the more you're going to create an impact on your life. Form will begin to come to be created, and don't force that form. I don't know, some of you remember, and I love this, when Michael Beckwith said, you know, when we are feeling good and we are elevated in our emotions and sustaining that, the universe will turn on its axis to bring to you what you need to fulfill the desires of your life. They'll come to you, and it will be inspired doing. And that's what will, then we can say that we're really living who we are, who we truly are. We've made the decision, we've been given that gift of choice, so we've decided what it is that we want to be, and we're fulfilling that within ourselves and with the collective consciousness. So let's sing our thoughts, our prayers.